We'll be taking a reading lesson today out of the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 1 for our reading lesson today. This book was written by Apostle Paul when he was in the prison in Rome. And this instruction to this people, he set this church up on his second missionary journey through there. And when he was talking to them in the opening of this letter, starting in verse 1, says, "Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints and in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you all in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." That's our reading lesson this morning. If we had a verse or a particular verse that we want to look at, it would probably be verse 9 out of this that we'll take for a text or a thought this morning. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. My message title this morning, if I had one, would be just simply spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment. There's a great need in our churches and in our lives and in our families for a spiritual discernment, a spiritual understanding of what first of all is laid out here for us. I believe it starts with the love of God in our hearts. I believe that this discernment can only start through and by grace through faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've got to be saved by God's grace first and foremost to have any type of spiritual discernment about you, because if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you don't have any direction from the Spirit of God. You have to also know and understand that discernment involves judging or judgment. And that word in this ninth verse here simply states, when it says in knowledge and in all judgment, the word judgment means discernment, or to be a discerner of what is right and what is wrong. It's important that we understand things that we understand the Word of God, first and foremost. It's important that we are learners and knowers and understand the Word of God. I believe there's so many things that has crept into our church just for the simple fact that people didn't know any better. People just didn't know any better. They just didn't know. They didn't understand. They wasn't able to possibly understand or rightly divide the Word of God the way that it was intended to be. And so knowledge and judgment, I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. Because when we do that, that you may prove the things that are excellent and it may be sincere and without offense. When you think of, this come to me, but when you think about the church, we know that it's made up of man and woman, boy and girl, all those that's been saved by God's grace. The Bible says that it's made up of lively stones, that all of us have been saved by God's grace, that have been baptized and joined, and they're members of the Lord's church. It's built up of those lively stones. But there's something more to the church. There's something more to the name. There's something more that goes along with it. There is just simply the understanding and knowing that it is of the Lord and it is the Lord's and it is the Lord that instructs and guides it. There's something more to it than just a name. The Lord's church. It just has, there's just a power that goes along with it. There's a meaning that follows. There's a first thought that comes to each person's mind when they think about the church. Holiness, goodness, righteousness. All these different aspects, God, Jesus Christ, all these different things that might come to our mind when we first think about just the word church and just what it is. But as we think about these things, we know and understand that those of us that are members are placed in the body. The Bible tells us in several places, and I won't go there and read over this for lack of time, but we've all been placed in the body, that God tempered the body, that He put those that are in the body together, meaning that He put those that are in the church, He placed them there, and He's put them there for a reason and a purpose. He's placed everybody there for that reason and for that purpose. Whatever that is, that's between you and the Lord. Whatever your part that you're supposed to play, that's between you and the Lord. And those that are truly seeking to find the Lord's will is what they're supposed as to what they're supposed to be doing for the Lord and how they're supposed to be working for the Lord. I believe the Lord will direct them. I believe the Lord will direct them to the church they need to go to, what they need to do, and how they need to act in everything. The Lord is in control. That prayer sermon that we started off, I guess our thoughts on this series of thoughts that we've had for the last few weeks. Discernment, spiritual discernment. Prayer is a basis or a big thing when you get to thinking about discernment. I wrote down and I looked, there's several different, I guess, definitions of the word discernment. And basically, there's a general understanding. Discernment means to hear intelligently, to know by seeing, to separate mentally, judicial estimation, decisive, critical, discriminative. All these different definitions is given in Strong's Concordance when it's mentioned and having reference to discernment or to judgment with the use of discernment. And as we look and we think about these things, it's important for us to know and understand that there's knowledge that is involved when it comes to discernment. There's knowledge that has to be implemented or applied to our lives and to the judgments that we make and the things that we do. There has to be a knowledge that is implied to enable us to be the discerning type people to make the right judgments and do the right things that we need to do. There has to be knowledge implied. And we try to take that knowledge and take that understanding through and by the Word of God. That's our blueprint. That's our blueprint for life of how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do as Christians in this world. We go by what God's Word says. And this going back to say that without the knowledge of what God's Word says, then it's going to be hard for us to discern what's right and wrong in a lot of instances and a lot of things. Love is a big part of just exactly, you know, it's a big part of what we should be about. Love. This word love that's mentioned here is the Greek word agape. Love of God. And it's important that we have the love of God in our hearts, and that if we have that love of God in our hearts, then it's going to drive us in the right direction. It's going to point us and lead us to the knowledge of God's Word. It's going to make us want to know what God's Word says. It's going to give us a drive, if you will, to... It's like there's something that comes up in your life and there's a particular sin or a subject or something that's going on. If you have the love of God in your heart that you want to first and foremost give God honor and glory in your life and in the things that you do, and you actually are wanting to try to live a Christ-like life, then you're going to go to God's Word when those situations arrive, or you're going to ask somebody that may have more knowledge or something in you in this particular area, but you're going to use God's Word to try to help you set yourself on course and point you in the right direction as how to do things. How to make a spiritual discernment to help you through the crisis or situation that's going on in your life, or whatever it might be, if it pertains to the church or whatever it is. Discernment always has to do with knowledge. Discernment has to do with knowledge. Judgment has to do with knowledge. And we'll get into that a little bit today, but and look at some things. But you think about, when you think about knowledge, you just think about over here in the book of Hebrews, in the 4th chapter and 12th verse. We read this all the time. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner." The Holy Spirit is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it makes judgments. It determines what is on our heart. How we as people are saved or lost or whatever. The Holy Spirit of God looks down in our heart and it divides and it separates joint and marrow. It's a discerner. God discerns the thoughts on our hearts. He knows how we think about things. He knows us, believe me. He knows us, you know. If we ever sometimes just take a minute and stop and think about just exactly how God did know us. Just exactly what we look like in the eyes of God and our actions and our ways and the things that we've done. It should have an effect. It should have an effect on us. It might convict us. It might bring us down a little bit, but it would be for our good. Over in the book of Proverbs, in the 2nd chapter, there's a lot of good writings in this, but in the 2nd chapter in the book of Proverbs, it says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide thy commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." The word understanding here means discernment. If thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, just like we've been talking about, if we will pray for the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom that we need to be able to approach situations and sin and sorrows in our families and in our lives and in sicknesses, if we will get on our knees and we'll pray and we'll ask God, "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. If we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we're praying, and maybe we're just a little behind on our prayers, maybe we're just a little slack on doing what we need to do as a people. Maybe we're just not praying like we should. Maybe we need to turn up the intensity a little bit. Maybe we need to try to do a little bit more for the Lord than we normally do. I don't know, but whatever it is, according to God's Word, if we will do it, then He will be there. He will hear. He will direct. He will give us knowledge and wisdom, and He'll enable us to take care and do things that need to be done and handle it, everything the right way. He gives us His promise. He tells us through His Word these things. It's important that we do these things. You know, looking over, I'm afraid that I was reading some stuff and I was thinking about here in this 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, "For when time you ought to be teachers," 5th chapter and 12th verse, says, "For when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." To discern both good and evil. I don't think age has a thing in the world to do with spiritual maturity. Some may be look at me like I'm crazy, but I don't think age has anything to do with spiritual maturity. I think love for the Lord. I think somebody that has a prayer life and close to God, living a godly life, that brings maturity upon a Christian. Those that read and study and do God's will, that brings spiritual maturity. I know age brings maturity in these old fleshly bodies. It brings it on. All of us day to day experience that. But I believe when it comes to spiritual maturity, there's more things to be spoke of than just of age. How many days you've been in church or whatever else. It's important, the relationship. Our relationship with God is what's important to the spiritual maturity that we have. Maybe this hasn't been preached enough. Maybe people don't believe what I'm saying this morning or understand the importance of reading God's Word and prayer and being close to God. Maybe we don't understand that like we should. And if we don't, shame on me, because it is that way. Spiritual maturity. We have to be spiritually mature that our senses are exercised to discern good and evil. And it's just that way. There's not gray. There's good and evil. There's black and white, any way you want to put it. But there's not a middle ground. There's not a gray area. And we as God's people have to have our senses discerned and through the Word of God and understanding through prayer and whatever, that God would give us the wisdom and the knowledge that it takes away the gray areas. See, I believe also that when you think about things, that you think about things in your past life. I believe that Satan that walks around in this world, he's as the Bible says, as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I believe that he's walking around and he's trying to harm his church. He's trying to harm his people. I believe he's trying to, the great accuser, he's coming up to you and in your minds and in your hearts, and he's accusing you of things that you've done in your past life, early in your life, maybe sins that you've committed early But we have to be spiritually enough mature to know and understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all done things that we know were wrong. But to step forward and to make those things right and go on with life, you know, that's one reason, I guess, when we preach about repentance and we talk about repentance and things that people would have it in their hearts, that they would just know and understand that if they would just come clean, if they would just get these things under the blood and come clean, bring their sins out before God and before the people, if they would just come clean and get them laid out there under the blood, then they can move on with their lives. There's one thing about just carrying sins around with you all your life. They just they pile up and they get heavy and they weigh you down. And there's times that you just need to shed those things. You need to get shed of them. Whether it's to stand before the church, and you need to repent and ask the church for forgiveness or whatever you need to do. You need to shed those sins and get those things off of your back so you can walk on in the light that the Satan that great. That he's not going to come up to you every time you try to do something to the Lord, and he's not going to put this thing in your mind that you're just a hypocrite. You can't serve God. Look at the sin that you've done. You need to get them under the blood. You need to get cleaned up. I believe if people will get things cleaned up and get these sins under the blood, that we can move forward and we can go on.
Bobby.
It's important, brothers and sisters. It ain't about pointing fingers. It's never about pointing fingers. It's about love. A love for one another. A caring for one another. Brother Terry mentioned this morning about talking. You know, he tried to pray for the church and he tried to pray for the kids and members and things like that. But he said, it's hard when you got your stuff that weighs on you first. Old preacher told me one time, he said, you know, you need to get all your stuff out of the way so you can pray for them other people like you're supposed to. You need to get all the garbage and the trash and all everything that's weighing you down. When you get out there praying, you can get all that stuff out of the way. So when it comes time to pray for your brother or sister or that boy or girl, the child that's lost, that's sick, and undone, whatever the situation might be, pray for everybody else, and when we've got so much of these things weighing on ourselves, our own troubles and our own trials and our own things weigh down on us and they burden us down. But when we can get that love and that knowledge and that relationship with God and we're back where it needs to be, back where we're able to have the discernment that we need to be, a discernment through knowledge and understanding of situations, through the Word of God, through the knowledge of knowing that you've done what you needed to do and how you needed to do it, and this is what God's Word says, and that He said it's going to be all right. Just follow me. Here's your path. His Word is that lamp and that light, that path we need to follow. That spiritual discernment that we have when we get on our knees, He can give us. He's the only one that can give us grace and ease and peace in troubled times, I'm telling you. God can. God can give you grace, He can give you peace, and He can give you ease. But you gotta know Satan. He's on the job. I'm telling you, he's accusing, he's right there. He wants you to think. Every time you try to do something right in accordance to God's Word, He wants to be right there and call you a hypocrite. You can't do this. You can't do that. You're just a hypocrite. Remember what you did way back then? That's why we get things put under the blood, so Satan can't come to you and accuse you, because you made it right. You made it right with God first, and you made it right with God's people, and you move on. It ain't a shame. It ain't a shame to get things right with God. We should never be ashamed. ashamed to get things right with God in our lives. Never, ever. We should never, as God's people, ever look down upon anybody in situations and circumstances.
What?
We want to try to help. That should be what our first and foremost goal is, to try to help and do whatever we can. If we see somebody going in the wrong direction, that we can help them to get them back in the relationship with the Lord that they need to have. In the 6th chapter of the 1 Corinthians, it says, dare any of you having a matter against another go before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you. No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to the law one with another. And this basically, Apostle Paul is having reference here to somebody in the church suing somebody else in the church, is what it's taking them to the courts. Taking them to the law court over something that in church, and that's not necessarily my point that I'm trying to make out of this, but I'm speaking about the point here where the Apostle Paul was talking about the judgments that we're going to judge angels one of these days. Do we not know that Satan and all those that fall are doomed to a devil's hell, and the Lord is already he's already judge them, if you will. But I guarantee you, we're going to be right there to see it. One of these days, we're going to see that. All those have been saved by God's grace. We're going to be a part of that judgment, because it's truth and righteousness is what made that judgment happen. Truth and righteousness in God. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Basically, why don't you just deal with it? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, or covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And listen to this, though. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. I don't know if any of you were thieves or extortioners or railers or, you know, there was a whole list of things that was went over here by the Apostle Paul of people that were sinning. And he said, such were some of you. I guarantee everybody in here that's been saved by God's grace, they was a sinner before they got saved. Every one of them. There's no way around it. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've been blessed by God to hear the truth and to be saved. And from that point on, it's just trying to live a life and a godly life that will be pleasing to God. That's the catch. It's not about us, it's about God. It's about living a life pleasing to God. But such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're set apart, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. That spirit of discernment that just points us in everything that we need to do. It lets us handle the word correctly. Wrenching it over in the 2 Corinthians in the 4th. Fourth chapter, and I'm not going to read all these different verses that I have here this morning. But I'm going to read this one over here in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, because I believe it's something I believe it's something that Satan tries to use against us. In this seventh chapter, it says, "Judge not that you be not judged." What does that mean? Judge not. How can we go through life? How can we live a life of right and wrong if we don't judge between right and wrong? If we just go out and do whatever we want, however we want to do it, and whenever we want to do it, is there not some type of judgment involved in that? Absolutely there is. We have to make judgments all day long of what to do and how to act and how to speak, how to dress. We make judgments all day long. Maybe the crowd, the people to be with, or the places to go. We make those judgments all day long, but this verse says, "Judge not that you be not judged." But you got to understand, and you got to know. That's the reason I said you got to rightly divide, and you got to discern the Word of God to know and understand. So Satan won't come up to you just like he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden, and said, "Thou shalt surely not die. You're not going to die." He will twist the words in your mind just as easy. If you don't know and understand what it means, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." That makes us not want to judge anybody, does it? It makes you just read that, you know, you don't want to judge nobody. Because if I judge them, then I'm going to be judged. "And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in the brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that's in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye,' and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly, and cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast ye the pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." When you think about this word judgment here, that is what it's having reference to here. It's a type of, it's prejudgment. How many times do people walk up to you and just by the way they're dressed, or just by the way they speak, or just by the language that they use, you prejudge, you make a determination, don't you? This person's rich. This person's poor. This person's Spanish. This person's English. We make determinations. We prejudge. We judge things. And the Bible tells us that we have to be careful here, is what this is having reference to, that we're not a people that are quick to prejudge circumstances and situations and other people. We're not supposed to be quick to judge upon things. Now, it might be certain things that's obvious about somebody, that with the clothes that they wear, the way they smell, that they may be poor and they may be homeless and things like that. Well, what's that got to do with their soul? Or if somebody's rich, what's that got to do with their soul? Or if somebody's sinning, they need to hear the truth. We need to understand just exactly that we can't get into a habit of forming a judgment hastily. And that's what this is having reference to. Judging hastily. Judging people. The Jews here were very judgmental people. They judged everybody else for everything that they did, just because they wasn't a Jew. Just because we're missionary Baptists, does that mean we judge everybody else? Are we supposed to judge everybody else because we're missionary Baptists? We judge on what's right and wrong, don't we? Our judgment should be based on truth. Truth. That's where our judgments lies. That's where we have this spiritual discernment within us that enables us. You know, and I've said this many times before, that when you go through life and you're going just walking through your day, and all of a sudden there's a red flag that comes up that says that I don't need to go over there. I don't need to be around that person. I don't need to go in that place or do this or do that. Whatever the situation might be, there's a
there's a sense of spiritual discernment that has taken place in us, that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to us and allowing us to know and understand that something's not right. It's a spiritual red flag. If somebody's trying to tell you some other form of doctrine of salvation or something like that, there should be a red flag go up right off. I know better than that, because I know the truth. And it's important on sin and all these different topics that red flag goes off. And that we stand for what is true and for what is right. Christ doesn't condemn judging for what is right, what is lawful, and what is necessary. He judged. He called sinners sinners. He called them liars. He called them thieves. All these verses that I read out of here, this is out of God's Word. God is going to be the ultimate judge. He's going to be the ultimate one that's going to make that judgment. You know, if you and I are not able to reach people and tell them about Jesus, that the Holy Spirit could convict them, that they could be saved, there's going to be a judgment on them one of these days. There's going to be a serious judgment. And that's the sad thing. That's the sad part. There's going to be a great judgment day one of these days for all those that have not believed, all those that have not been saved by God's grace. That judgment day is coming. So when we are out in this world, let's remember our discernment about things and how we handle situations, how we think of things. That it be directed by God's Word. That's my message today. I pray that there'll be something in there that somebody can use that will be a help. Don't let Satan hinder us from doing what's right. Don't let Satan hinder us from doing what's right. Discern what's right and do it and go with it. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart. It is, unless we dismiss and put it off till next week and go to Mount Calvary. So whatever church wants to do. Anything else on anyone's heart? Let's remember the request. Let's remember, pray for one another. Pray for our families. Pray for our children. I don't know. But the way the Lord directed this sermon, you might want to start with yourself. I want to start with yourself, and I want to get some stuff out of the way so you can pray for somebody else. What will be the will of the church as far as what we're doing tonight?
It is time to leave. Do we have to pray for
it? I know Mount Calvary's still going on. New Bethel still be going on tonight. And the one in Galton that I can't ever remember still going on too. So if the church wants to dismiss for tonight, I don't know. What the business, I don't know if it's business or what. So whatever church wants to go, honestly.
Yeah, you got any fun?
Well, what's the will? Somebody say it. Somebody speak up.
tell me something. And I'll go over it, whatever it is.
Okay, next week. Let you do it next week.
All right. That'd be all right with everybody. Just postpone business meeting tonight. Go support. If not, speak up.
All right. We'll do that then. No services tonight. If you can, go support one of our sister churches tonight. All hearts and minds free. Certainly remember a prayer request.
All standing will be dismissed.
Brother Billy, would you dismiss us?
What's that?
Yeah.
Find it.
Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah.